It's always good to be together, isn't it? Yeah? It's good to be together. Because this is, today is one of the Bible readings. It's reminded me there's something special about coming together. That something happens when we come together that doesn't happen when we are on your own. That's what Jesus said. When two or three gather together in my name, I am there in the midst of you. And that's a promise. There's something about togetherness, that you come together and worshiping the Lord. Because there's a bit of a fashion things going on, like, you know, I can stay at home. I mean, if you are not able, that's a different thing. But when you are able, but because the one of the reasons some people told me, that the reason they don't come to church is because they don't want to sit with a person they don't want to. Why do I meet people? That is exact reason we should come to church. You know? That's the reason we come together, sit along with the people. It's a lesson, almost like it's a glimpse of God's kingdom. Coming together, all different kind of people, all different kind of background, come together, worshiping in one spirit with one purpose, to bring God's glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's the things that we are here for. And now, and also the things that when we come together, and today is about sharing stories. Sharing stories. Two things happens, right? We are here to listen to God's story and what God has been doing in people's lives. And we are going to learn from that story what God has done in that life and what could God can do in your life too, isn't it? That's the kind of things we are ready to share with others. The same time, we are going to learn from others. And that's why this fellowship is very important. So I'm going to invite Mike and Janet come to and sit with us in a special hot seat. Would you like to come? Yes, please come sit there. Can you just welcome them? Because it's a brand of them. They are happy. They are agreed to share with us. And it's not very easy, you know, just to come in front of people. They are very good at chatting on their own, don't they? Because they never stop talking in a way, in a good way, I meant. But now I thought it'll be good to hear them and hear God's story. So here we are, Mike and Janet. And I know I got to know you, both of you, very well so far. And it's all good things. I know you have lots of history in this church. You have been coming to church in the past more than what I have been here. But could you please introduce yourself to those who are fairly new to this church?
Okay. Yep.
Yeah? Okay. Take a turn.
So I'm Janet Etheridge. We've been coming here for this time, nearly 9 years now.
Oh.
Nearly 9 years we've been here now. My role in the church, you saw me this morning at the door. I'm the pastoral secretary here. And with Mick and myself, we run the Wednesday Young at Heart group. And we're from Gloucester, originally.
Okay.
Forgot that bit.
Brilliant. Do you want to say anything?
Yeah. Yes. My name's Michael, by the way.
Michael's.
Nobody knows me as Michael. I'm Mick to everyone. As Janet said, I was born in Gloucester. A long, long time ago. My process in the church is I do the bookings for the hall, the church, the loft next door. I do the health and safety for the church with John. And I also help Jan run the Young at Heart group on a Wednesday afternoon.
Thank you. That's nice. So, yes, thank you for sharing that. Now, I know you've been long time ago you were born, you said.
Yeah.
I just wondered, what was your childhood faith like? Were you born as a Christian or because your parents and grandparents, or is it because something that you decided?
Would you like me to go first?
Yeah, you go for first, yes.
My faith as a child was non-existent.
Okay.
None of my family were Christians. I was a bit of a rebel all through my teenage years
and
early
that.
20s. got into quite a few scrapes with the law, unfortunately. Not for anything serious, which eventually led me to spending some time in a remand centre. And then I was on probation for 2 years, which did me a lot of good, actually, because the probation officer got me a job as an apprentice, Tyler and Slater. So, you know, that did the good part. I didn't go to church, and I had no interest in the church whatsoever.
So, wow, okay.
Oh. That did change.
Oh, that's good. Would you like to say something to Janet?
I'm like so many people here. I was sent to church as a youngster.
Sent to church.
Yeah. My parents never went, but I found out when I got older that my dad was Church of England and my mother was Methodist, but they never went to church when I went to church. So I was a bit of a rebel. So sometimes on my way to church, I wouldn't get there. And I go to the park to meet Mick.
That's a challenge for you, isn't it? That's
a child.
Challenge, isn't it?
And spend my pocket, spend my collection on sweets. But I was very, very silly because
for me, most of the time.
The church was actually run by my family, by my mum's family. They were teachers, there were cousins there, aunts and uncles, and of course it got back to my mum. So, yeah.
Right.
But I still kept going till I was about 14, and that's when I left the church.
And when were you met together?
There was a gang of us used to meet. They had more exciting times down the park than I did at church, so I just wanted to be part of it. So we just meet down there and play games and things, didn't we?
We used to play stupid games like weak horses and touch rugby
and
all
things.
Sorts of things.
Yeah.
There must have been 30, 40 of us, all from local schools. And we always used to just meet down in Gloucester Park when you were allowed to do that then.
So how long have you been married together then?
50 years.
50 years next.
Next Saturday. Week. No, the week after.
Two weeks.
Sod yourself.
A fortnight's time.
We've been married 50 years.
We were together for
a while before that.
Wow, that's wonderful. Wonderful to hear that. Okay, now that's good that you've been 50 years married together. Now, I know it must be a challenge being married together with Mike, you know, but you're still sticking together, which is nice. But here it is. Sorry.
Yes.
Can you recall something, a life-changing moment for you both? Something, a life-changing moment, that's something that you can recall?
We had a lot of discussion about this question, and it's having the children. I mean, we were together and we were told we couldn't have children.
Really?
And although I wasn't going to church at the time, I always, always prayed. And prayed desperately for a miracle. And of course, as you all know here, we had two miracles. Our first child, Michael, and then we had another boy, son called Mark. And I really, really felt it was a miracle, and it took me back to church. I started taking Michael at first to church, but I would take him and then go home. So I'd leave him in the creche, as you could then. And then eventually I started waiting in the church, in the back row. As soon as the service was finished, I'd be gone. It was the children. And that's what took me back to church. Yeah. I've always said that thought that my boys took me back to church.
Right.
And we brought them up in the church.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
As Janet said, when we had Michael at first, it was probably the best day of our lives. The only time I went to church at the time was for weddings. I'd been to church three times in my life. That was my brother's wedding, a friend's wedding, and my best friend's weddings. It's the only time I'd ever been in a church.
Wow.
Janet started to go to church, and she was saying to me, "Do you mind if I take Michael?" And I thought about it long and hard, and I said, "You can take Michael to church until he's old enough to make up his own mind whether he wants to go or not."
Yes.
because that is the way I felt about it. Mm. So as things went on, we just got changed. When they did go to church, when Mark came along, Jan took Mark to church as well. So I started going to church. And I think what I became was a social Christian. I used to go to all the things that the boys were doing at church and to the social occasions at the church.
Yeah.
But that was the only time that was the only time I had at church.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Oh, that's good. I know you said Michael and your boys there, but one of your boy was become
a minister.
Minister, Methodist minister, isn't it? Yeah, that's just a little entrance into the church, and the
We knew there was something special about Michael. He was the one. How old was he when he asked Vernon about being?
He was seven.
He was seven, and he went to the minister and asked why he couldn't take communion.
Okay. Because in those days, of course, you didn't take communion when you were
young boys. Okay,
yeah.
Yes.
Boys, but
right,
yeah.
And Vernon couldn't answer him.
But it's something that he was looking for something more.
Yeah, definitely.
In that having that relationship in a childhood.
Yeah.
In that sense.
But
sorry.
I suppose this, the second thing that happened to me.
Yeah.
On entering the church, I started to go to different things, and I'm sure it was during the Billy Graham rallies and things that I was attending, and that's when it happened.
Does he?
Remember we were singing from Mission Praise, Open My Eyes, Lord, I Want to See Jesus, and I saw him and went forward and didn't understand what was happening to me. It explained to me afterwards, of course, it was the Holy Spirit, and it was just I just believed from that day onwards. I just knew there was a God, and it was just amazing. And that was a real life-changing time for me.
Okay,
really was.
And that's good. Although that's happened, and that's first time. But since then, there's lots of things,
absolutely,
bit by bit, not all of your journey. I mean, now knowing you, there are good things, God miracle things, but there are some difficult things. There's something that you can't even imagine. And something happened. But during those difficult and the good times, how did that affect your relationship with God? Do you think it strengthened
it? It strengthened it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It really did. I mean, I would like to say that after all this happened, I'd like to say that everything was hunky-dory and everything went smoothly because suddenly but it gave me a closer relationship to him to deal with situations. I mean, we still had illnesses, we still had deaths in the family. But I reacted differently to them with God's strength, and it was just different. It really was.
And what would you say, Mike? What difference does make following Jesus made in your lives, under your both of your lives?
Shall I tell you how I became to follow Jesus?
Okay, please do.
It's the most important part of the story. So the question was, how did it affect my relationship?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have a relationship with God at the time. It was just non-existent. So I began to go to church, and the minister was very understanding. He knew my story because I'd sat and talked to him for hours. And he invited me to go to church and listen to a man named Joe. This guy, Joe, was an ex-IRA member. And he'd been in prison for murder. And as I said, I got invited as well to go and meet him. It had a tremendous effect on me, knowing that someone who was that bad or that evil could be forgiven. And I thought, I wasn't ever that bad. I did some stupid things, but I was never quite that bad. And so I said, I realised I could be forgiven for the things I'd done in my life.
Mm.
And from that day on, I knew I wanted to become a Christian and learn more about God.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. That's nice to hear that, because it's a, as much as that we are going in a crowd, but it's also personal. Mm-hmm. Relationship makes a difference too. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? That's where then you can join as a crowd. It's a different kind of aspect coming to church, because you have that personal relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And you have mentioned a few people, like the minister, the pastor, and other people. Is there any other key people that encourage you to grow in your faith?
Well, I think most of it was down to Vernon, our minister at the time in Gloucester. I got christened at the age of 40, believe it or not, because I'd never been christened. And then I became a member with my two boys at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And it became the proudest day of my life, I'll be quite honest. Mm. And all I wanted to do was learn more and could now share my faith with my family. Unfortunately, I lost a few friends because they couldn't believe the difference in me. Mm. But that happens, so...
I think that's inevitable, isn't it? You know, as we said, we had a life before church sort of thing, and they just couldn't, some of them couldn't understand.
They couldn't.
Certainly
with
you, they couldn't understand, could they, how you could change. And we just wanted to tell them, but then, But we gained lots of lovely friends, lots of Christian friends.
That's good. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Know, and
thank you.
I mean, I met Nicky Cruz. Now, I don't... I was told about, because when I became a Christian, I just wanted to read everything, and there was lots of people giving me ideas of books to read, and one of the books was The Cross and the Switchblade, which is the story of Nicky Cruz, who was a gang leader in America,
okay.
Really, really bad man,
right.
Who became a Christian, and he came to Gloucester.
Did he?
And I went to meet him, the most amazing man, really, really amazing, and... He had an effect, as did Joe on with Mick. He had an effect on me as well. Anyway.
Well, that's good then. So that you have met along a few people that will have encouraged you in your faith journey.
Well, we met Graham Kendricks as well.
Well, yes, we met Graham Kendricks.
Yeah. That's brilliant.
And who was the other one who stayed at the house? Who was ill?
Oh, don't.
I'm sure you'll remember that.
No, he's
But let me ask you then. Yes, okay, you got a few people met along the way. And who have encouraged you. I think God sent those people, just a little stumbling block, and then he sends some of your friends or some of the people just to kind of encourage you, just a little boost to help you go along there. So now you're looking back, how have you changed over the last 5 years? I know that things have happened in the past and things there, but last 5 years, how have you changed?
Well, as most of you know, we lost our son, Michael. And it was a difficult time for all of us. He was a Methodist minister, and most of the people in this church knew Michael. Michael did his training here, was a local preacher. And I would never want anybody's faith tested like that, because it really, really did test us. Mm. We had no idea what had happened, where we were. But do you know what? If it hadn't have been for the support of the three churches, the church we were in at Stoke at the moment, the Michael's Church in Bristol, and this church, I don't know what we'd have done, because at a time when we couldn't see the whys and wherefores, we couldn't even pray, could we?
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't, but we knew that we were being surrounded with prayer and support.
Mm.
And I've never forgotten that. We felt so comforted by that.
Yeah.
And it really, really helped us through the situation. Well, that's why prayer is so important.
Yeah.
When we can't pray, there are people praying
for you.
And that's important.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that sharing that, because it is still raw in one sense. It's still, as a Christian... You know, the pain is real.
Mm.
You know, pain is real when you go through those things. And sometimes we ask questions like why and how. Why now? You know, young age, I think. He's like my age or just older than that. But yet, the prayer of other people, the church, the community that supports you, and God gives you that peace Absolutely. In the midst of that difficulties, isn't it? Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
And it's a privilege to know in a Christian journey, God does help us along the way and with the church things. So, Mike, would you, if I say in what ways is God now calling you to deepen your relationship with Him? Because sometimes people say, when they grow older, when they retired, they'll think, I've done it now, I'm going to put my feet up and I sit down. You know, sometimes that's a question that say, I'm no use for anybody, I can't run around, I can't do things. So what would you say that God is calling you now in this place, in this moment?
Possibly becoming more spiritually involved with the church rather than actions. Because I've had to stop doing certain jobs I used to do with John. Because I physically can't do them anymore.
Yeah.
And as it says, I've got a quote from Ephesians. For it is by God's grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not the result of your own efforts, but God's gift, so that no one can boast about it.
Thank you.
I think that sums it up, to be quite honest.
Yeah. And we never stop growing, do we? We never stop growing, even if you're not physically doing things, but it's still that you can encourage the young people. Even today, as you're sharing, you two together, and the young people, children, are listening to your stories, and they can always remember, they will remember your story more than that what I preach here, because it relates to them in their lifestyle, in a Christian journey. When they go through difficult times, they can say, I remember Janet and Mike was sharing this story, and God does help. You know, there is always a hope, even in the deepest and the darkest moment in your life. Right, before we conclude, and thank you, I'm really kind of emotional sometimes, but it's thank you for sharing. So before you can conclude, could you share some practical advice on these young people, and even the older, your age people are even older than yours, some practical advice on how to persevere and maintain faith for those facing similar challenges as you too.
I think you've just got to keep believing and trusting in God that He has a purpose for you. Mm. We don't know that purpose, don't always know it. And just to keep going, He never said it was going to be easy. We're going to have trials and tribulations. Of course we are. If being a Christian, we didn't have all this. If it was easy, everybody would want to become a Christian. But God did not promise that. But we've just got to trust in Him. And we've had to trust in Him a lot, that there was a reason and a plan. Mm. And whatever it is, you know. But this morning, I mean, a lot of people that are on Facebook will know that I put lots of things, quotes on every day, sometimes funny, sometimes not so funny. Talk about God incidents, and we're a big believer in God incidents.
Mm-hmm.
This came up this morning, and this was what I put on Facebook, and it says, every day is a new beginning. Take a deep breath, smile, and begin again. God woke you up today for a reason. Trust in His plan. His timing is perfect. He will make a way. And that really spoke to me, that was given to me this morning, of all mornings.
Thank you.
And that's what I think. Every day is a new day.
There's
a plan.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much. Mike, do you want to add anything?
No, I can't add anything to that.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, thank you. That's an encouragement. That's a really encouragement. So before we just say goodbye, then now, do you have a favorite hymn or a song that you have that something's...
I have two.
You have two? Here we are. Yes?
There was a Redeemer. We have a Redeemer, and make me a channel of your peace.
That is a Redeemer, and make me a channel of your peace. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not, I'm sure it's other people's favorite too. But thank you, that we will sing one of them, actually, just after this conversation.
Oh, that was going to be a surprise.
Ah, that's nice. But thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm sure that you would have been encouraged to hear that story, and I hope that if you're feeling a similar situation in that, there is God that who are always able to help you.
Always.
And He is always closer than you think. And He is next to you. And He will guide you. There's no situation that's beyond his redemption, beyond his help. So I'm going to say a little prayer, and before we stand and sing together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Janet and Mick. The story, Lord, the powerful story, the way that how you involved in their life, good and bad times. Sometimes, Lord, we feel like that. The situation feel like there is no hope. All we can see is the darkness around us. All we can hear the questions more than the answers. But yet, Lord, you're always beside us. And thank you for the assurance that you give us. You never leave us, nor forsake us. And you have been faithful for Mike and Janet's life. And you are the faithful God. And remind us, the people who are going through these difficult times right now, similar to Janet and Mike, let your grace be sufficient in their weakness. Mm-hmm. And your grace guide them and lead them. And you be the light in the darkness. And continue to bless this family and the children and the grandchildren. You be with them and provide their needs. And more you raise up lots of testimony. They can bring you glory for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now we are going to hear some drama, some sketch. So we're going to come in there. You stand here. If you can come out. Possible way. Would you like to use this lectern? Lectern, here, sit, sit here. This is what we call. Okay, you stand and read.
Ow, ouch. Ah, my muscles are complaining.
It's not just your muscles that are complaining, James. What have you been doing?
I did 50 sit-ups, 50 press-ups, and ran 2 miles yesterday, and now everything hurts.
That's impressive, James. What are you training for?
Nothing.
So why the sudden interest in exercising? This is most unlike you.
Real men, Grandad, are upper fit, very strong, and have lots of bulging muscles.
Right. Who told you that?
Oh, a bloke I saw on TV last night. He was talking about how to be a real man.
I see.
My friend Bill also wants to be a real man, Grandad.
Does he know?
Bill told me yesterday that real men shave their heads. So I was wondering, Grandad, could you shave my head for me? Dad had an electric razor we could use.
I don't think your mum or your dad would be very happy with me if I did that, James.
Please, Grandad, I really want to be a real man.
I can see that, James. But if you're going to do something as radical as shaving off all your hair, I think we need to check in with your mum first.
She wouldn't understand, Grandad, and she'll say no.
Well, seeing as we have some time, how about we go and help your mum get the tea, James?
That reminds me of something, Grandad. Eric told me today that it says on the internet that real men only eat steak, chips, and drink at least 8 pints of beer each day. So...
No. Your mother is not going to buy steak for your tea or give you 1 pint of beer, let alone 8 pints.
But real men don't take arguments from their women, Grandad. According to Men's Weekly, they always get their own way.
I think this has gone far enough, James. I can see trouble ahead if this continues.
But, Grandad...
No buts, James. Now, what's this talk about being a real man?
Well, me and my friend were chatting the other day, and we decided that we want to be real men, Grandad. Like Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Mike Tyson.
I see.
So we were watching programs on TV, reading magazines and looking on the internet to find out what we could do to become real men.
Okay. But you know, James, you've been looking in the wrong place to find out the truth.
Have I, Grandad?
You won't find out how to become a real man by looking at the telly or reading magazines.
Won't I?
Because you see, James, that the realest man who ever lived on earth was Jesus.
Jesus?
Yes, Jesus. And if you want to find out the truth about what a real man is, actually, then you need to read your Bible.
Really?
And in your Bible, you'll discover that real men are loving and kind, patient and forgiving, self-sacrificing and powerful, and they change the world.
Oh, I want to be like that, Grandad.
Good. So let's find some time to do some Bible study together.
Thanks, Grandad. I'm really glad we've had our chat. I wasn't looking forward to taking the caterpillar challenge.
The caterpillar challenge?
According to Lewis, real men have to eat large caterpillars while singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star in front of their class at school without getting caught by the teacher.
Oh, James.
Jesus said, "The reason I was born and came into the world was to testify the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." John chapter 18, verse 37. Jesus said the devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. John 8, verse 44.
Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." John 14, verse 6.
That's wonderful. Thank you for those reading and thank you for the askage that many of you guessed that, the truth, what the scripture says. You see, in each of our minds, there's a constant battle goes on concerning what we believe to be true about God and how to live a life that God wants us to lead. There's so many things there, sometimes it's hard to distinguish between what is truth, what is lie. We might not be aware about it, but it's going on every day in our lives. The decision, what is truth, or in that sketch, in the drama we say, what we see on the telly, what is truth, or what the scripture tells us, what the God's word tells us, what is true and what is lie. Because it is important to find out what really God's truth is and what God's truth in the situation that we are in. Because people can give you lots, all sorts of advice, especially with the magazines, what John has been looking at, what is the real man is, you know, those kind of things. Because there's so many lies around this world, but sometimes it's important that we try to focus on what the scripture tells us. For example, if you think about it, because what we believe, what is true, will affect our actions, isn't it? Yeah? What we believe, it's true, that it will affect our actions. If I give you, many people will think it's okay to take other people's things as long as they don't get caught. It's like, for example, for the children mind, you say taking sweets from the brother, it's okay. Taking, or a home company that you're working as stationary things that from the company, it's all right, just for the personal use, you can use it. Or even taking towels from the travel lodge that you stayed in, you know, just because as long as you don't cough, but it's okay, taking things up. If you are not going to live a life that pleases God, it is essential for us to know what is true and what is false. Because God asks us to live your life surrounded by the truth, not lies. Even in the small things, because when we are truthful in small things, then it will affect when we do the bigger decision, it will come as naturally that we make the right decisions. The scripture tells us Jesus is the truth, the way and the truth and the life. He doesn't say what he's teaching us. It's not only just says that what he's teaching us is the truth. He is the truth. Everything he does, everything who he is the truth. And not only that, he also simply reminds us, not only that you need to know the truth, but he's also need to know what is the lie. That's where the people confuse with it. Because you need to know the truth, but at the same time, you also need to do, you need to know the lie. Then you know when to say no to things. But that's why Jesus reminds us, the father of lies, the devil. You need to know that, because we can't just ignore him. We need to know he's always whispers in your ears, that's okay, nobody watches you. That's okay, parents are not watching. That's okay, nobody's going to find out. That's what this devil will whisper to you. But at the same time, God will speak to you the truth. The way he speaks to us is the two ways he speaks to us. I'm going to finish it because I'm not going to talk more. Two things that we need to find a way. We need to hold on to it. The first thing is, rely on the Bible. The scripture is the only reliable source that we ever have. That scripture, we'll keep on reading it, even in a kind of like one chapter or a few verses a day, it'll start to speak to you. We've been talking about it, don't we? Last few weeks, how to grow in discipleship. And that's what, reading the scripture, whether you are a young boy and a girl or the older person. If you can't read because you're too old, because you can't read the letters, it's all right, you can listen. There's lots of audios that's available. Because the more you listen in God's word, the more that you will stand by the truth. And the second thing is listening to the Holy Spirit. Because God promised us. In fact, Jesus, before he died, before he taken up to heaven, that's what he says. I am leaving you, not as an orphan. I'm leaving you with a gift. The peace, but the Holy Spirit is there to speak to you every day of your life. So that means we don't have to rely on 2,000 years ago what happened, but actually it happens now in your lifestyle, right now in your school, in your college, in your workplace, in your care home. He speaks to you in your ears. When we listen, actually in Isaiah tells us the verse, it says, you will hear the word. This is the way, walk in it. Apparently, you will hear it. When you turn left or right, it tells you, this is the way, walk in it. Can we hear it? And that's, in tune to the Holy Spirit, it will start to guide you. Hey, this is the right things. Otherwise, we can numb our conscience, can't we? We can tell ourselves, it's okay. But because the more you numb it, you'll so get used to it. But the more you listen to the Holy Spirit, it tells you, hey, listen to me, I'm speaking to you. The more you listen, the more louder the voice will get in your ear. And then get the right decision. Even choosing your boyfriends and girlfriends. It speaks to you. This is the right person to spend time with. No, that's not the right person to spend time with. This is the right thing to do now. But this is not the right things to do. You see? And that's why it's important to read the scripture and listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this moment. Thank you for the reminder how to live our life with the truth. You teach us every day. Help us to listen to your voice and speak to us. You are the truth. You are the way. And you are the life. Help us to hold on to you and guide us in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.